Thanks for joining A&M Conversation With, a podcast series featuring Alvarez and Marsal leaders discussing the trends impacting businesses today.
On this episode of A&M Conversation With, Senior Director Art Hall sits down with Jill Marie Harding, a managing director in our Taxan practice, in a two-part series. In part one, they will discuss tax reform and its impact on supply chain executives.
Welcome to another edition of A&M Conversation with the Supply Chain Edition. I am your host, Art Hall. How will supply chain organizations transform in light of the new tax reform? To help answer this question, my guest today is Jill Marie Harding. Jill's a managing director in our tax practice out of San Francisco. Jill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Art.
Jill, you've been doing what I would say a lot of evangelizing around the new tax reform and how the new tax reform will impact executives, especially supply chain executives. Can you just take a moment to share some of the implications that supply chain executives can expect around the new tax reform?
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the key things that is important for a supply chain executive to consider are that there are significant changes both in the rate of taxation, but as well as additional taxes that could be applied based upon how a company operates its supply chain. So where perhaps in prior to tax reform, the supply chain function may not have been as intimately integrated with perhaps the finance and tax function, now given tax reform, it's going to be imperative that supply chain executives are working side by side with the tax groups in their companies to make sure that there's full alignment on how a company's supply chain works, both from an operational and tax perspective.
So in our conversations about this topic, it appears that the new tax reform will incent U.S. companies to spend money in the U.S.
Yes, that's correct. So the tax reform is doing that in a few ways. First and foremost, the federal corporate rate of tax dropped from 35% to 21%. So companies are incentivized to generate more revenues here in the U.S. rather than overseas. So the rate drop is very significant. Another key incentive, which is temporary, it's not going to last forever, is there are incentives to encourage local companies to buy things here onshore within the U.S. and allow them to fully expense for tax purposes those capital expenditures. So prior to tax reform, if a company acquired property, plant, and equipment, it had to expense that over a period of years. Now, a company, for the next 5 years anyway, can fully expense that cost up front. That's intended to incentivize the infrastructure build-out and development of plants and equipment within the U.S., as opposed to building a plant offshore. So that's a key incentive that's significant for supply chain planning. There are a couple items in the tax reform that are using more of a stick, if you will, rather than a carrot, to incentivize companies to do business and shift their supply chain back into the U.S., one of which is referred to as a base erosion and anti-abuse tax. And that is really targeting certain functions, mainly service-based supply chain functions, that are being conducted by related party affiliates outside the U.S. and is, in effect, potentially penalizing those activities.
Well, Jill, that's an interesting segue because I imagine that the base erosion and anti-abuse tax will present some challenges to a wide range of common business structures employed by the U.S. and non-U.S.-based multinationals. So two questions for you. One, what are the key issues around this? And then two, if I'm a supply chain executive, what actions should I consider taking?
Terrific questions. So the key issues really are, do I have an organization that has an internal supply chain? If I do, and that internal supply chain involves perhaps R&D services, perhaps customer support services, and other service-based activities, call centers, for example, back office fulfillment centers, those types of things. Think of any service that would not otherwise comprise a cost of a good sold, so not core manufacturing, but if it's a service, then if I have a related party affiliate performing that activity outside of the U.S., then I am going to potentially be subject to additional U.S. taxation that may cause this U.S. company to be less competitive than a peer company that has the same set of supply chain functions but within the U.S. So the key issue is taking a look at what the footprint is of a company. Do they have an external or internal supply chain? And if they have an internal supply chain, is that going to be negatively impacted from a U.S. tax perspective based on the location of that supply chain? So some of the things that executives should consider are taking a look at where things are sourced right now. What are the functions of foreign affiliates? And what does that mean in terms of quantum of payments being made to foreign affiliates? There are certain thresholds within this base erosion tax. It's not going to apply to all companies, but it is targeting middle to upper tier companies. Any corporation, the U.S. corporation or group of U.S. corporations, has gross receipts of $500 million or more, averaging over a three-year period, will be impacted by these rules. So these rules turn on at that threshold. So if you're a mid-sized company with gross receipts of $500 million or more, and you have functions that are sitting overseas as part of your supply chain, there's certain testing and further analytics that need to be performed to determine whether basically the percentage of payments that you're making to overseas affiliates is greater than what the U.S. government deems an acceptable level of payment. And the acceptable level of payments is pretty low. If there's payments to a foreign set of affiliates that are representative of 3% or greater of total deductible payments, then these rules kick in and could impose additional U.S. tax on the company. So you can see by the thresholds, these rules are really intended to get at a broad group of companies in a broad swath of industries, essentially encouraging companies to have more of their service-based functions performed within the U.S., or if not within the U.S., outsource them to unrelated parties.
Right. And so in thinking about that, in your opinion, what industries do you think will benefit most by this new provision?
Well, the companies that would benefit the most would be the companies that would avoid this. And so if, for example, there is an internal supply chain, then as long as that supply chain is outside the U.S. and only serving functions that would otherwise roll up into a cost of goods sold, so core manufacturing, that does not seem to be problematic. If a company also does not have a related party supply chain, they have full outsourcing of their supply chain, whether it be manufacturing or service-related supply chain, they will not be impacted by this provision and may come out much further ahead than a similarly situated peer company that does have related party manufacturing or related party services overseas.
Thanks so much, Jill. Jill Marie Harding is a managing director in our tax practice out of San Francisco. Stay tuned for part two of our discussion, where we will focus on tax reform and pending M&A activity.
For our listeners, for more information, visit our homepage at alvarezandmarsal.com and connect with us on LinkedIn at Alvarez and Marsal.